Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in, and today we're joined by Sanella Ford. Sanella, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
It's good to have you here with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. You are a shoebox recipient. And we were having a conversation in church the other Sunday morning, and you shared that with me. And so we want to hear about that experience today. But if we could just start out with you telling us a little bit about where you're from, how you grew up.
Okay, so I'm from Bosnia. I grew up pretty much in war. We left Bosnia 1997, and that's when we came to the United States. So it's been tough. We went through refugee and just have a lot of bad memories with just gunshots and bombs and stuff like that. So it's kind of good to be here and have to listen to that every day.
Right. Yeah. It's something that a lot of us listening don't have context of. Right. You know, we haven't. Yeah. So we're grateful today to hear your story and a little bit about that experience. So what was faith in Bosnia for you?
Well, my family is Muslim. We didn't really practice it or anything like that. So it was just like, we know there's God and that's about it.
Yes.
We didn't go to mosque. We didn't cover. We ate pork. So it wasn't really, there was just God. That's all I knew.
Maybe more of a than religion. It was culture.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that happens a lot.
Right.
Yeah. 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 So you're a little girl. You've grown up there in Bosnia. And so you received a shoebox. What age were you?
I believe I was around 9 years old.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us about that experience.
Well, all we knew is there's these boxes coming from the United States for Christmas, and every child gets a gift. And so I was very excited. When I opened my box, I remember it was a stuffed bear with a pink dress, and it was a purple book. When you open it, the things would just kind of pop at you. So it was very exciting just knowing that you don't get to have a toy. You can't afford a toy. So that was very, very happy moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was in Lima, Peru a few years ago, 2020, and we helped hand boxes out. And I remember the looks on the faces of the children. And it's just so interesting to hear that you remember the color. Mm-hmm. And that the book popped open and people packing boxes, they have no clue where this gift is going to go. Mm-hmm. We can now track and know, you know, the region that it goes to.
But it's still, that's a minor detail compared to the details of a kid opening the shoebox. And
yeah, that's, but I'm saying this is, someone made this box for you.
Right.
And I'm sure prayed about what to put in that box and just to think about that impact. And, right. And I watched that in Lima. A child was told, it's your birthday, but we don't have any money for a birthday gift for you. And he opens the box and he's crying. And I think he's offended, but actually he knows that God saw him in that moment.
Happy tears.
They were happy tears. They were not sad tears.
And you have some siblings. And so
I have three sisters, two younger and one older. The older sister, she said, I don't remember the shoebox. And I told her, I said, I don't remember what I ate yesterday. I said, but I know what that shoebox did to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just a memory that you cannot forget.
It's a core memory.
So when I came here and you guys mentioned shoebox, it was like something just woke up. And I'm like, what? Shoebox? I just have to. Because I know what that shoebox and that gift did to me, and I would love that, you know, touches somebody else's kid.
And what age were you all when you came to the U.S.?
I was 13, so we came 1997.
So you went into a refugee camp. How long were you there?
So when we ran out of our country, we were there for about a year. We lived in a chicken farm. And I remember first couple of days we didn't have food, and they came with the truck with nothing but chocolate. Mm. So I don't know if that's why I love chocolate so much. And then we were moving from that place to another place where my rest of my family was. And it was my mom, my dad, and my three sisters. And it was two soldiers. They were taking us through the woods. And they stopped us in the middle. And they pointed the guns at us. And they said, "You need to give us all you have, or we'll just kill you right here." And I remember I was crying and telling mom, "Just give him whatever you have. Like, I don't want to die." But also, while we were going through those woods, they told us to just follow the path, because if we step left or right, mm-hmm. there's mines. So it's quite some crazy memory.
Mm. Yeah, those are memories that obviously you're not going to forget too soon. So back up to the shoebox. Was there any thought to, you received that shoebox, what was your thoughts about the United States? These boxes came, like, what did that?
Well, I know that we were getting ready to go to United States, and I was very excited because, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to go to this big city and it's going to be so much fun. And I remember laying in bed and I was just pointing at things and just saying random words, like pretending like I was speaking English. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty excited. I was like, yes, I'm going to learn English and I'm going to know another language, but I'm glad I'm here. I do know that sometimes when there's like 4th of July and you hear fireworks, it kind of shakes me up a little bit. I don't like to hear it. It just mm-hmm. kind of brings the memory back. Uh-huh. More.
Yeah. Those are deep.
Things we don't think about as Americans, that noises that we don't associate with that kind of stuff, that
yeah.
we just don't have that reference of.
So did you move here to a big city?
No.
So, I was waiting.
I was driving and I'm like, okay. One cow, two cows, three cows. Where are the buildings? Like, where's the city? But, I mean, I cried for first year. I couldn't get used to it. But I'm like, oh, my goodness, people are so nice. And everybody tells you hi. They don't even know you. Like, they're super nice. But it did take me about a good year to get used to it, to be like, hey.
So what was your first location that you moved to?
Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's wonderful. Do you still want to go to the big city?
No. We did go visit Bosnia. That was first time in 20 years. I know that when I entered Bosnia that I had really bad anxiety, but I always had a dream to just go back and just see home. That's always mm-hmm. going to be home.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know my husband said, let's move. You know, he likes it there. And I'm like, no, United States is my home now. I just can't.
Yeah.
It's a lot of bad memories, a lot of good memories with family that's passed away. Mm-hmm. But this is my home.
Yeah. 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 So you moved and you got to the United States in
1997.
That's what I thought, 97. What did life begin to look like?
Well, it was hard. I started school, couldn't speak any English. I met a Russian girl. And she tried to speak Russian to me, and I didn't understand. Her name is Luba. And I remember after maybe a few days, I was sitting in the hallway, and my sister walks by, and she said, why are you sitting here? Why aren't you in a classroom? I was crying, and I said, I don't understand this school. I don't understand this language. I don't speak the language. I just want to go home. But she spoke English because she learned in Bosnia. So, and then my friend Luba, she, after probably a year when I was understanding English, we sat in a hallway and she said, well, let me tell you about Jesus. So I'm like, okay. And I was very interested in like the story she was telling me. And as more as she would tell me about it, as more interested I would be. And then she got me a Bible, one in English, one in Bosnian. And I remember my mom opening a closet and she said, why do you have five Bibles? And I'm like, well, you know, my friends gave it to me. So
did she accept that? Was she okay?
No. They're still not okay to this day.
Yes.
So were you were 13. So were you in middle school when you first started? Like
no,
8th grade?
I started in 9th grade.
9th grade, okay. At TA?
Yeah, because I just finished 8th grade in Bosnia.
Okay.
So, and learned a language and graduated.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
You deserve a medal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could talk for hours about just stuff that I went through and what life was like. I know school wasn't easy. A lot of kids were hateful. They were telling me to go back where I'm come from or speak English in America. And just coming from war to school that...
I'm sorry. It's okay.
Felt like coming from war to another war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got over it.
Yeah. Yeah. Still hurts. It still stings.
Yeah.
Understandably. Sometimes we don't realize how deep words cut.
Yeah. Or the pain that people have come from.
Right.
Or in. I remember one time in middle school, some kid was picking on me, and I told Mom and Dad, it's okay. He doesn't have a good home life like I do. Like, I saw that he was mean to me because my dad has this phrase, hurt people hurt people. People that are hurting hurt other people.
I believe just... knowing what I went through, that I can't be hateful to other people. I can't hurt other people because you never know what they're going through.
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
Just from the personal experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's difficult. I can't imagine the difficulty of learning the culture and the language, and it's a lot to take in. So you graduated high school, then what happened?
So I remember I was working in Bridgewater College, and these kids come from, I believe, Roanoke Men's Retreat. And I started liking this boy. And he was Christian. And he was telling me about Jesus. And then I started working at PCA. And this guy come to me and he said, well, let me tell you about Jesus. And I'm like, here we go again.
Like, everybody wants you to know about Jesus.
Guy just, won't let me go. And so I'm standing there and he was telling me about Jesus. And he walks off and I'm standing behind all these machines. And I see him on this step. He's standing there. And I said, okay, Jesus, so if you really exist and it's true, everything they're telling me, make the guy look at me and wave. And as soon as I said that, the guy through all those machines, through this little hole, looks at me and he waves. And I'm like, that's it. That's it. It's Jesus. I believe in Jesus. That's it.
So if the Lord prompts you to wave, wave. Yep.
And I feel special, like I'm trying to, tell my family bits and pieces. Like, I don't want them to know much because I know they're so against it, but I wish they know what I know. And I can say that I feel special.
Yes.
And I feel chosen. It's really a good feeling.
Yeah. I know you can't share everything, but God has showed up for you in other ways that you probably can't share here, but where he was undeniable, that he chose you and that you chose him.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's powerful when you know that you know that you know. There's no way around it. And God wants that. He wants every one of us to feel special.
Right.
He wants every one of us to have that relationship and experience that we walk by faith, not by sight, but yet God is so gracious as to give us that affirmation that he sees us and he knows where we are and that he cares. It's not lost on him that your family has having a hard time with faith, but he's going to be faithful with you.
I know that I was going to take my state board for cosmetology. I kept passing hands on. I couldn't pass the written part, and it was really hard for me because English being second language. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going one last time. And this is my 10th time. I wanted to do here since I was a little girl. I sit there before my test. I close my eyes and I pray. I said, Lord, if this is what you have in mind for me, then let it be. Mm-hmm. If you have something else in mind, then I'll know the answer.
Yeah.
And I passed.
Wow.
And I screamed. And the lady said, have to be quiet. I told you to be quiet. I said, you don't know what this means. This is my 10th time. And this is all Jesus. Yeah. And she said, okay, and also the people that are outside and praying for you, tell them to keep it down. So that's when I went and told my dad. I said, well, Dad, I prayed to Jesus and I passed my test. So I'm like trying to get these little bits and pieces into my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It might be my job to be that light, but it's also very hard.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the power of perseverance, not giving up, not failing it once or twice or three times, but 9 times before passing it the 10th time. That's incredible.
That's even better than the Navy SEAL that went 8 times. Oh, that's great.
So, Sanella, you mentioned that you met a boy at PCA that told you about Jesus, and then you told the Lord, if you're real, have the guy wave at me. You wanna
Sorry, that wasn't PCA. That was Graham's packaging.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. If you'd like to share about that.
Well, his name is Jamie, and he would preach it all the time and tell me about Jesus. And so I think if, in a way, I didn't feel like I was chosen, I would just be like, whatever, and I would just go my way. But I was very interested. Just the whole story, I wanted to know more. And at the same time, I'm like, okay, well, you know, they'll say, read the Bible. And I would read the Bible, and I'm like, well, I don't understand any of it. And that's when I met my husband at Graham's Packaging. I was his boss. So going to Germany to be evangelist. And so then he was telling me about Jesus. And I just felt like, well, that's it. That's it for me.
It's funny that you had brought that up when you got here. I've totally forgotten that Larry went over. It was through this church. And I forgot that he had went over there and a week later came home.
Right. And another thing is, the whole time that people were telling me about Jesus, one thing I could never understand is Jesus being God's son. And that's when my husband actually sat down and just explained, like, to the dot. Mm-hmm. And that's when I finally got it. So I think just having the right person explain it in a way, like even nowadays he'll say something and I'm like, can you just explain it a little better? I'm still Bosnian. I still don't understand the long words. And so, but he's very helpful.
Well, the Bible says, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So simple. Faith is simple. It doesn't have to be anything complicated.
Yeah. And then after I accepted Jesus in my heart, I started having dreams. Mm-hmm. That's when I felt even more special.
Wow. Yeah. God definitely can reveal himself. I've heard of, you mentioned that you grew up Muslim, your parents were Muslim. Well, I heard a story one time because people were like, well, what if people never hear about Jesus and him being God's son? But I heard a story one time about this Muslim couple, and I think it was the husband, the Lord had revealed himself, or maybe it was the wife, I can't remember which. Actually, I do think it was the wife, and she was nervous about what her husband would think if he had told her, or if she told him that she was Christian. But then one day she decided to tell him, and a few months earlier, the Lord had also revealed himself to her husband, and just God can reveal himself any way he wants to people. It doesn't take us humans sharing the gospel. God can do it. And so when you're talking about having dreams and feeling special, that's just what I thought about.
I remember the very spot we were standing when you shared with me about one of those dreams. And that just, when we were talking about the shoebox the other morning, it just came back so clear. Like, I know where we were standing. I remember the conversation, and I remember vividly the dream that you shared with me. And I think that's something that happens often as God speaks to people, in the Muslim faith, especially. Yeah. I had a young lady that lived with us a few years ago, and God revealed himself to her through a dream. We had been talking about Jesus, but he solidified that. And so it always excites me when I hear someone, especially a Muslim, say, hey, I had a dream. I'm like, tell me, please, what was the dream?
Yeah.
And just to see how faithful he is, it's just amazing.
Well, yeah. I started writing my dreams in a book. I still have a book at home. But also, I told Larry one time, and I said, you know, when you're laying down, you have the vision. And he said, what vision? I was like, you know, people have visions. And he said, I don't. And I'm like, oh. And so I was leaving the house one day, and I was trying to figure out what these visions were. And it would be just like a quick vision that I didn't really understand what it meant. And so I remember I was going to my aunt's house to do her hair. And it's like God spoke to me to turn around, go back. And I can't remember where in Bible at the moment, but I went there and I just took the Bible, opened it where he told me. And it says, once you're laying down having these visions, and I'm like, what else? Like, it's just proof after proof, you know?
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, so now I get visions. Interesting. Like, bring it to me. What else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, most of the time I'm just like, okay, so how do you translate these dreams, or what do you do with them, or So I'm still kind of learning that part.
Mm-hmm. That was always a fascinating thing, I think, for people that speak multiple languages. What language do you dream in, or is it just a dream in a no language?
I would like to learn Spanish all the way. I know some. I understand a lot. I also understand a lot of Russian, but I wouldn't mind learning more languages.
Wow. That's impressive. And also, you're talking about having these visions and dreams. And it's one thing for somebody to tell you about Jesus. It's another thing to experience him. And like through, even through a dream or through a vision, you know, when we feel God's presence and we can learn to hear his voice, that's just more powerful than just being told by somebody.
Right. I know one of my favorite dreams was... I was walking with Jesus. He was wearing everything white. And the whole time he had this beautiful smile on his face. And like the world was just calm. I kind of got at the moment where I was iffy about, you know, you have your Muslim friends and they're like, oh, you're going to go to hell because you believe in Jesus. Like you're born Muslim and that's what you need to follow. And so I was kind of like, my mind was going like, okay, so I don't want to go to hell. And so in that dream, when I looked at Jesus and I said, I believe in you. And he said, are you sure? Mm. So that kind of like, uh-oh, like I need to think this twice now.
So. And that's, you know, spiritual warfare, we call it. The enemy wanted you to think that if you believed in Jesus, that you would go to hell.
Right.
Also, kind of circling back, we talked about how you received a shoebox in Bosnia as a 9-year-old, but now you take your kids to pack shoeboxes. And there was something cool you told me about, you know, not only do they pack shoeboxes, but you still pack a shoebox.
Well, I brought three boxes home, and my husband's like, well, each kid will get a box. I said, I don't know who's not going to get a box, but I'm going to get a box because... Like, this is just a dream come true. Like, I'm packing one box. You guys do whatever you want with the other two.
That's great.
Because I told her that as a kid, Mom would take me and my sister to the store, and I'd pick out stuff for a boy, and Allison would pick out stuff for a girl. But so when she said, well, I let them pick out stuff, but I do one myself.
Yeah.
And I think I would love to find the purple book and the little... stuffed bear.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, you can write a letter and be able to go on a trip.
Really?
Yes. Wow. You can write a letter to Franklin Graham and you can be chosen to go on a trip. They take all those letters into consideration. When I was on the trip, there was a young girl. She was 15. She had written a letter and they chose her. She got, her mom got to go too because she was so young. But that is an opportunity. Yeah. Would be a, very much something. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah. You know, volunteering with Operation Christmas Child, a lot of times they'll bring in, they call them full circle speakers, somebody that like you that received a shoebox and now is living in the States and working for Samaritan's Purse, or at least goes around and shares their story. A few months ago had a guy, Alex, that was born in, and grew up in Rwanda, and I think was later adopted by a family in the States, but now lives in Boone, North Carolina, and works for Operation Christmas Child. We actually had his testimony on about a month ago. And at the time that this, your testimony will play, would have been a month ago. So, yeah, I mean, there might be opportunities for that, too, to go and share your story about what the shoebox meant to you and how that impacted your life. Sanella, so what else would you like to share about your testimony that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already?
I'm nervous as is, so I can't really think of anything right now, but I'm sure there's plenty.
We call this program Hope Talks. So right now in your life, what is bringing you the most hope?
Most hope. I just hope that one day my family, Muslim family, would see what I see and feel what I feel.
Wow.
My sister just mentioned the other day, she said there's a movie called Mary on Netflix that looks very interesting.
Mm.
Like, yes. Like, tell me little bits and pieces, you know. And then my younger sister, she's like, I believe in aliens. And I'm like, oh, no, like, let me tell you something else. Mm. And she wouldn't listen. And I'm like, okay, well, you're just going to have to be eaten by big spiders because you don't want to hear me out.
Yeah. Well, you know, we believe that God pursues us
right
from the time we're born. And it's no different for your sisters. Right. The waiting for us is the hardest part.
Right.
You know, to... And our joy and our opportunity is just to share Christ in love and be in that relationship and be present in their life. And as we pray, we can trust God with that. I remember a friend of mine saying one time, she had a family member that wasn't saved and she was in ministry and she prayed. She said, Lord, I'm going to be about your business while you're about mine.
Yeah.
And so let me serve you, and I will trust you with my family.
Right.
And I think God really, I know he hears that, and I think that he honors that prayer.
I would say sometimes, but you don't know my family. They will never, ever, you know, want to know who Jesus is. But I'm like, there's nothing that's impossible.
That's right.
Right.
All things.
I was telling my husband, I said, I have a pretty tough job. Like, I have to bring all this, you know, family of mine to Jesus. But I'm like, let me just pray and just give it to him and just take over.
Nothing's too big for God.
That's right.
And sometimes, you know, he uses other people other than family.
Right.
And I will tell you, when I started coming to church here, I had a friend of mine said, Margaret, I never invited you to church because I never thought it would interest you. And so here I am many years later, and it's my life. And so we just never know when the still small voice of God is speaking to those that we love. And it's we walk by faith in that and trust that he will work all things out.
Right. And you were talking about how God revealed himself to you in a dream. Maybe to pray that he will reveal himself to them in a dream in a way that they can feel special and just undeniable, kind of even as simple as that day you were working and you said, Lord, if you're real, have this person do this. But just like the Lord can reveal himself. Like Pastor Margaret said, he can use somebody else that's not family, but he can also, he can reveal himself by himself.
Yeah, there's nothing that is too big or too small for him.
Pastor Margaret, in closing, would you mind just praying for Sonella today and for her family?
I would love to. Father, we just thank you today for the story of hope that we have heard from Sonella today. God, how you brought people just to share the name of Jesus to the point that it got her attention.
Yes.
And then in the way only you can do, you solidify that it was you that was bringing them by the wave from the stairs. You've spoken to her in dreams, and I thank you that you have just built that foundation of faith for her. And I know that she carries a tremendous burden for her family. It's not lost on you, God. You see them. You created each one of her family, and you care just as much for each of them as you do for her. And so, Lord, we pray that in a way that only you can do, that you would just continue to draw them to yourself, open their eyes and their ears and their hearts to believe and to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you bring moments, whether it's with Sonella or with a stranger, where they would begin to question and wonder, maybe, that Jesus is more than a prophet, that he is the Savior of the world, that he is a part of the Trinity. So, Lord, we can trust you with that because you're trustworthy. And so we place this, God, in your hands, and we pray your Holy Spirit would minister through whoever you would see fit to bring not just Sonella's family, but all those who are lost to faith.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's been great to have you today, Sonella. Thank you for joining us on Hope Talks.
You're welcome. It was good to be here.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Sunella Ford's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.